Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
But that's all right. And we're going to transition to my favorite of what I call the Jesus meals. And it's kind of not necessarily a well-known one, but it's pretty cool is what we're going to see today. And I've really loved this series. Now, if you haven't been with us, maybe you're just kind of joining in, I invite you to go online because these are really important. And the fact that if you look at whom Jesus ate with, okay, with whom Jesus ate, the things that he talked about, and the things that happened around those meals, it's compelling. It truly is. It is compelling. And so as we move forward today, this is going to wrap up this series. Again, if you haven't been with us, please go online and catch up with those, and I think you're going to be blessed. Today we're going to look at this last meal, but it's actually a two-parter. How many of you have already had one Thanksgiving meal, but you're going to have another one? Anybody? Yeah. So it's kind of like that. This is kind of like that two-parter meal here. Now let's look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. And this is someone who's going to have eating on the road. We last night at I think it was 11:30 or something, maybe a little bit later than that, when we got we landed, we had a really rough flight back from Denver. It was one of those where the plane's bumping all over the place, and it was interesting. But we hadn't eaten for quite some time, and so I tried to stop at a place to grab a sandwich at 11 o'clock at night, and on the road back between here and St. Louis. That's a story for another time. It's interesting subculture that comes out at that time. So anyway, let's Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 32. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Now, let's back up. What had happened is Jesus had he'd had this Last Supper. He'd communicated that he was going to be betrayed and crucified and buried. And then all the things happened. And Jesus was crucified. He was put in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. And now time had transpired, and these two individuals were walking on the road to Emmaus. And they have a visitor here in verse 15. It says, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what's this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? I love this. I love this. And here's why I love it. And I guess why this is so important to me. Because I believe that there are times when we're walking along the road of our lives and we totally miss Jesus. We totally miss him. And which asks the question, why do we miss Jesus? Now, theologians have debated this text for some time. Some theologians believe that Jesus had somehow forbid them to recognize him. Some theologians read that into the text. I'm really not in that camp. I'm not of the version of people who says that the Lord was not wanting them to recognize. This is my feeling, and I'll put it out there. However you want to land on, that's fine. But me personally, I think the reason that they missed that it was Jesus is because it was totally outside of the realm of possibility. Because I know that there are times in my life that I am absolutely missing Jesus and he's there. And the reason I'm missing Jesus is because I'm so focused on my drama. Does anybody have drama in their life? Okay, yeah. So for those of you who don't have any drama in your life, may you have some of mine. You can take some of mine. I'll be happy to share it with. But a lot of times, we are kind of like these guys walking on the road to Emmaus, and we've had some real things happen. Now, don't get me wrong. These guys had just lost their best friend and their mentor, one who they thought was going to bring political and radical change to their lives and free them from the bondage of a cruel Roman Empire who was oppressing them. And things didn't work out the way that they thought. It happens to all of us. Sometimes, whether it be health, whether it be family crises, whether it be situations in our lives, we are so focused on the drama of our lives that we miss the Lord. Can I get an amen to that? So last night we're flying back from Denver and the pilot says, folks, it's going to be a bumpy ride. In fact, he came in at one point. No, I mean, the plane was shaking around. Now, I looked over at Lainey and Eli, and Lainey and Eli are like, this was a free roller coaster ride. They're just laughing and yucking it up. And I look over at Ellie, and she's like breaking the handle down, you know, having a full-blown panic attack. And I was like, bless her heart, it's going to be okay. And then the pilot says, by the way, this is as high as the plane can go, and this is as good as it's going to get, folks. But the good news is we're going to cut about half hour off the plane because of the tailwind. So it was kind of cool. But it's interesting as I thought about that this morning about how you can have different responses. Because there are times in my life that I know other people have gone through similar circumstances, not my exact, but similar circumstances. I've had ministers who are good friends of mine and they've gone through some hard times and yet they keep their focus and they can keep it in such perspective and it pushes them towards God. And I can go through kind of a similar thing and I'm freaking out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I recognize myself in these two guys walking on the road to Emmaus. That he's right there, but I'm missing him. I'm missing him. And I think for a lot of us, maybe we can find ourselves in that group. But I got good news for you. Okay, here's the good news. He wants to walk with us. He says, and he said to them, okay, you know, what's this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Aw. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know what things have happened in these days? And they said to him, what? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. So think about this. They're all sad. They're all discouraged. They're down because their hero, who had just a few days ago told them he was going to be betrayed, he was going to have a trial, he was going to be killed, and he was going to be put in a tomb, and then 3 days later, he was going to rise again, and they're upset because he was betrayed, he was put to death, he was put in a tomb. And look what happens in verse 20. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes. And besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, really? That's my translation. So in other words, let's just roll this back. So Jesus is walking with them. They don't recognize him. And exactly what Jesus said was going to happen happened. And they missed it. Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all these things the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, go to the next slide, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Verse 28. So they drew near the village which way they are going, and he acted as if he were going further. You know, let me pause right there. This morning while I was sharing this message, this thought came to mind. You know, there are times that God wants me to go a little further and I get stuck. You know what? And what does this look like? We can just be real, real blunt. There are times that I think God wants me to progress in my life on different things, whether we talk about hurt, whether we talk about letting go of disappointment, whether we talk about stress, I mean, how many, you know, I've told you before, like the number one command in all scripture is not love, it's fear not. And yet how many of us worry and are anxious? Anybody ever, you know, get worried and anxious? And yet, so we've got this thing. I think that God wants us to go a little bit further. And yet sometimes we make a home in an area that he was trying to draw us forward. Now, here's the good news. If you're like that, like me, and you realize that sometimes I get stuck, sometimes he wants me to get beyond something, and yet I just want to dwell there, here's the great news. He doesn't leave me. It's great news, guys. And so, they said, stay with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And he was at the table with them. He took bread. He blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Then he vanished from their sight and they said to each other, let's all read this together. Ready? Did not our hearts burn? Okay, let's all try to read this together. Last one there. Ready? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? I love this story. And this is just the first part of it. And here's why I love this story. Because it speaks so much to me, and I believe it speaks so much to a lot of us here today. So a couple quick points here today. Just a couple small thoughts that might help you during our journey over the next several weeks as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Point one is this. You got to be willing to be encouraged. You know, there's that old Saturday Night Live sketch of Debbie Downer. You know, they're all like, hey, we're in Disneyland. Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of terrorists here. Wah, wah. And they always have that Debbie Downer person, if you haven't seen it. No one wants to be around the Debbie Downer, but some people just don't want to be encouraged. Does anybody, you know, people like that? They just refuse to be encouraged. They're going to find that the negative, the dark cloud of every silver lining. No matter what happens, they're just like that. And if you're that person, I got advice. Stop it. There. You gotta find some way. You have to be willing to be encouraged. Because the truth is, you are going to see that to which you focus your eyes upon. There are folks who will look at every situation and find the worst possible outcome. And we have to challenge ourselves, because I think it's easy to find ourselves in that position. The bottom line is, you were created. You are a created being. And the spiritual aspect of you, the part of you were created to worship, period. The thing is, what are you going to worship? And some people say, well, no, I'm an absolute humanist. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Well, congratulations. You are, in fact, worshiping. You're worshiping your intellect. You are focusing your life around something. A lot of people worship their income or their jobs or their possessions or their families. You were created to worship something. Something will have the highest seat of affection in your life and priorities. It's how you were designed. Otherwise, we just all sit around in atrophy. We're designed to do something. And so God created you. The question is, what are you going to worship? And many of us worship our emotions, or worship our fear, or worship our anxiety. We center all of our efforts. We worship our disappointment. Some of us worship our anger. Some of us worship the very blessings that God pours upon us. And ironically, God pours them upon us to draw us closer to Him. So we miss the very one who's walking along the road of life with us, because we refuse to focus on Him the way He is. We miss God because we're not looking for Him. And so my advice to you today, if you are one of those individuals who's just not willing to be encouraged, is you got to choose to empower your faith, not your fear. When a situation comes, you have a choice. Do I choose to worship fear? Do I choose to empower my faith that God has given us? You see, Jesus told them clearly, look, this is what's going to happen. I find that amazing. In this story, I find it amazing that Jesus, I mean, those words are just hanging like one of those caption bubbles in a cartoon. It's just hanging right over them. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put in a tomb, and then I'm going to rise again. And they are all happening, and they refuse to see it. Because he didn't fit in their mold. James chapter, when we look to God on His terms, we find Him. The problem is, a lot of times we want to look for God on our terms. You see, that's the truth. That's what was going on with these guys from Emmaus. They had thought that Jesus was going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire. They thought that what was going to happen was now Jesus was going to come and He was going to dethrone the Roman Empire, and now they were going to be the rulers and they were looking for an earthly kingdom. And Jesus had something better. He was talking about eternity. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, James writes, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 8, "Draw near to God," and what is He going to do? You got to say that like you're excited about it. He's going to draw near to you. And so it's good news that when we're willing to be encouraged, when we start taking some momentum towards God, He's making momentum towards us. And that's great news. I love this story because I too often am one of those two guys walking on the road discouraged, and yet He doesn't just walk away. Which brings me to my second point. So point one is, look, you got to be willing to be encouraged. You got to be willing for God to stretch your concept. You got to be willing for God maybe to be doing something bigger than what you've given Him credit for doing. And point two is this: eat with the discouraged. Eat with the discouraged. Now, Jesus connected with and He invested in two groups of people, the downcast and the doubter, of which we find ourselves in that place many times, don't we? The truth is, we're called to offer patience, and we're called to go to those who struggle to fully grasp His plan. Now, Larry, in first service, Larry collected the offering, and I hadn't had a chance to talk with him about the sermon today. And Larry's offering devotion went something like read from Romans, the Apostle Paul reeling back a list of all these people whom he was thankful for in his life because of what they had imparted into him. How many of you have had a spiritual mentor? We had a spiritual mentor. Maybe it was a grandpa, maybe a father, maybe an uncle, maybe a friend. Okay, it's super. Someone whom really poured into you. Now, I've had a couple of spiritual mentors in my life, and I got to tell you, there were times that I was like these guys on the road to Emmaus, and these people came up and helped me in my down times. Anybody had a down time? Yeah, we all have. So you got to be willing to be encouraged, but you also have to be willing to be the encourager. Well, what if I say something wrong? I guarantee you this, God's grace will keep you. Well, I don't know enough to mentor somebody. Good, then you'll be reliant on the Holy Spirit. What training do I need? You know, what I see in the Bible is people got saved and immediately started serving. What do you think about that? First service, I spoke with the church about something that I'm alarmed, and probably it affects this service more than the other two. And I touched on it briefly a couple weeks ago. We've lost a couple of really remarkable people past couple years. I'm going to pull them out: Carol O'Malley and George Balsman. And here's why I'm pulling again. We've lost other wonderful. Don't by naming these two, I'm not unnaming the contributions of others, but these two for one particular reason. They exhibited a heart of service, and they also took ownership. And so here's the point that I'm a little bit concerned with our church. Those of you who've gone into to the sanctuary, there's a little bowl of mints. Anybody ever help yourself to those mints? You know what some of our kids do? They like empty the whole thing out and put it in their pockets. And I'm like, what are you doing? There's other people who've got stinky breath too. Da, da, da. And they're like, no, no. And the deal is, and George, here's how George's response. And I remember because I watch it. George's like, it's so, yeah, Larry's got one right now. Shake your pockets out, Larry. How many of you done that? So here's what George would do. George is like, it's okay. They make more. And George would just go. And about once a week or once every 2 weeks, he'd go to the grocery store, he'd go to Walmart, and he'd get a big old thing of mints, and he kept those places loaded. When George died, people's breath got a lot worse. Now, and here's the deal. I didn't have to, well, George took ownership for that. I didn't have to have a committee. I didn't have to put a thing in the budget and then put on somebody's duty list, hey, somebody needs to take care of this. Here's why. Because it was part of who they were. It was part of their service. They took an ownership for it. And you know what? We're missing that a little bit in the church anymore. Now, we got some good signs. I see some people who are stepping up and it's like, yeah, we want this place to look pretty. And so if you notice here in the fall, we had some beautiful flowers. You know what I loved? I loved pulling up in the church because I do not have green thumbs. It's just awful. And they'd come up and you see those flowers and they're just stunning. They're just so pretty. And you go in the sanctuary now and it's all decked out for Christmas and it looks great. And what it says is someone cares and someone really feels that they want you to know. It's not a show-off thing. This is important. And so we're missing a little bit of that ownership piece. Now, I mean, someone say, hey, we needed a coffee garden. They didn't need a whole committee or anything. They just went ahead and built it. And it was great. And so we need some of that. You know, so what is your part? What is it that, because church is not passive. Church is not like a movie theater. We just went and saw that Mythical Beast or Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, that movie that just came out. It was like that drawing movie. It was pretty cool. But we went to this, I walked into the theater and I sat there in the recliner and we ate our popcorn and we made a mess and we got up and we left and someone else cleaned it up. Oh, I'm sorry. For what we paid for tickets, no, I'm not. So, you know why? Because it wasn't my theater. Now you're thinking, wow, you're a bad person. I know, I didn't feel that much. I didn't like purposely make a mess. But I knew, but that's not, the church is not a building. The church is not a pastor. The church is not a group of people or a set of employees. The church, we are the church. And so there's something about this. And to be willing to be, we have to be willing to eat with the discouraged. We have to be willing to do our part. We have to be willing to minister to the hurting. And we have to be intentional to reaching out to those who might not be recognizing God in our own individual ways. And whatever giftings you have, whether it be your music or your service or your intelligence or your organizational skills or your creative skills, whatever it is, bring it in the kingdom. Be willing to walk with people. Be willing to eat with the discouraged. Be willing to be encouraged. Be willing to eat with the discouraged. And then I got one more point and that's it. And then we're all like out of here. How about that? You excited? Why are you like, we're setting this up? No, I'm not. I'm just going to call this point. We all need heartburn. How many of you are ready for some heartburn? Well, let me read it to you. Chapter 24, verse 32. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? I got a big prescription for us all. You need some heartburn. Here's what I mean about you need some heartburn. We need to bring Christ back to the table. Now, I just spent some, you know, obviously I'm a preacher, and so my family sometimes gets a little old that I try to bring Christ into meals when we have like family gatherings. I try to do like these games. I wasn't hosting this year, so it wasn't up to me to do it, but that's like an intentional. And so I think sometimes people around me, they're like on guard, so I don't get away with it as much as I probably used to. But I want to challenge everybody. Bring that. One of my best mentors, most powerful mentors in my life, had this ability, no matter what was going on, he brought the conversation towards Christ. And now we find out, if you do that, I bet you're going to find out something cool. He's there with you. Look what happens to our friends here. It says, did our hearts burn with us while he talked to us on the road and opened us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Guess what? They followed our 3 points today. Point number one, they were willing to be encouraged. They didn't start off that way, but they changed. And so you may not start off that way, but you can change. Point two, they're willing to go be encouraged, to eat with the discouraged. They take off and they're doing it. He says, look, verse 35, and they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you so troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. That is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, And you see it, I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of bread and broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them. Here's why I think this is so cool. I've had a couple, I'm not like this hero worshiper guy type of thing. In other words, like Hollywood movie stars or famous people, I don't get, most of the ones who I've known have been jerks. So, and I've had the ability to know a few of them, and most of them were so self-absorbed that I would not want them to be friends. Now, I'm sure there's some really quality ones, but me personally, I've known some big name singers, I've known some folks earlier on, but I've also known some quality human beings who've done some amazing things in turning policy, in changing lives. And those people are like, those are the ones who I really gravitate after. People who make life change. Those are the ones who I really kind of idolize, not in a great way, but I think a lot. And a couple times, I can think of about three times specifically, I've been invited to have a meal with them. And to sit at a table that I think, I don't deserve to sit at this table. Because these are heavy hitters, and I'm just like this little guy from a small town. And yet these are like my heroes, and I'm having a meal with them. And I watch them, and they eat their salad. You know how when you get a big piece of lettuce, and you don't know whether it's polite to cut it again, or else you take the whole thing, it's got dressing on it, and it gets all over your face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, who doesn't chop their lettuce up? But these, I remember, it's like, he's got ranch dressing. It's like right there. He's a real person, you know, and he's making a fool. Yeah, he's got broccoli stuck on his teeth. He's real, you know. And that's a cool thing, honestly, because it makes somebody real. You get to know people when you eat with them, when you break bread with them. I mean, that's why, you know, when you start a relationship, you know, okay, we have coffee, and we go on a date, we have a meal, you know. Then you realize, like, and they have horrible tameness. I can't do this. No, you find out about people and you're breaking bread with them. And here's Jesus, and he's like this. You know what? Let's dispense with all this. Woo! Let's just be real. Let's just be real. Bring Christ to the table. See, this is my heart's cry for us as people who, you're my family, over the next several weeks, be willing to be encouraged, be willing to encourage, eat with the discouraged, and bring Christ to the table. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you and I thank you for this season, this time of year. As the song says, yeah, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And the reason it is because of you. Father, for those who are so consumed with the drama of their own life and are walking along the road and are missing you, I pray for the ability to be encouraged, the ability to have the perspective changed and expanded to see you how you are. Father, for those of us who put you in a box and are only looking for you to do to show up in our lives in one particular way, and so we're missing it, help us understand. For those of us who've suffered failure, Lord, let us comprehend that you're walking the road of life with us. Open our eyes today. And God, in doing so, help us to take that same revelation to those around us. Let us step outside and give compassion and encouragement to those who so desperately need it. And God, above all, be welcome at our tables. We pray and we ask this in Christ Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.